This is CliffCentral.com.
Well, hello and very, very welcome to Beyond Ears and Eyes on Cliff Central. On controls is Palisa Mabuya. I'm Shemaine Harris and...
I'm Liesl Tom. Hello, Shemaine.
Hello,
And with us in studio today is Charbonnet Boerlow. Now, she does quite a few things. What I picked up first was the life coach, and then what really interested me was the hereditary healer part of your business. Hey, Charbonnet.
Hello. How are you guys doing today?
Awesome. Good to have you here.
Thank you for having me here. Mm.
So what is a hereditary healer?
So I was very blessed to have been raised by a Celtic, Irish-born lass, if you want to put it that way. So my granny raised me, and she crossed over at the age of 96. I was about 23 at that stage. So when she started teaching me, it was about the crystals and the herbs and what energy forces you could use to ground yourself and make yourself feel better. So if you are all out of sorts, for instance, go and really hug a tree. Mm-hmm. Go and ground yourself with it.
This is your granny that time already.
That's it, my granny that time already. Mm-hmm. So I was very, very blessed. A lot of people come across the paths very late in their lives.
And you started.
But you were born into it.
I was born into it.
And that's where the hereditary comes
from.
Did she lay her hands on you and gifted you all her gifts?
She actually blessed me with as my spiritual name when I was born. It has changed over the last couple of years. I was called Fire Lynx, not as dangerous as a lion, yet however, and strangely enough, you guys all saw the cat, uh-huh. So I have this thing with all the felines. My name has changed over the last couple of years because I've gone on to my own path, which has been Egyptian, and I've started learning from them, but raised and born Celtic. Yes.
So your name is spelled, let's do the name thing because I keep getting confused. And you know what? I actually don't like not being able to say someone's name properly.
Okay.
Because, I mean, it's happened to me and I find it quite irritating, especially if we're sitting and having a proper conversation or if I know I'm going to see you again and again. The spelling is S-H-U-V-E-N-Y.
That's correct.
But the pronunciation is...
Charbonnet.
Charbonnet.
And it means to remember.
All right. From where?
It's Gaelic.
Is it Gaelic?
Yes.
Okay, great. Because it just bounced about.
It sounds like a very smooth wine. You'll remember it.
Oh, darling, you age in time.
Your husband made it very easy for me. He said, it's like Chardonnay, but with a V.
That's
and
it.
I went like, yes, now we've got it. You know, you're very interesting to look at. You know, you're interesting, period. But also, you know how we do the whole... I look at you and I make up my mind about you kind of thing, or
yes.
I form a particular picture.
Yes.
And you're colorful. So it's like you're walking around with your identity almost like on the outside.
Yes.
Sorry, I just want to interrupt you and tell our listeners, when Shemaine says colorful, she does not mean color, because Charbonnet is dressed in black, but she's not covered, but she's got very interesting tattoos on very interesting places.
Yes.
And then the nails are colourful. I'll grant you that.
Yeah, and purple, absolutely.
And purple, your other
yes,
colour.
Yes.
But let's not go away from those tats.
Because
it's very rare that one sees a female.
Yes.
With a tattoo right in the front on the forehead, and then on the, what do you call this? The clavicular. What do you call
the breastbone?
The breastbone. Thank you. So, and yours, there's like a half moon with two at the top and then four spots going down.
Yes.
What does that mean?
That's the four elements.
Okay.
And the top part is the divinity, mm-hmm. female divinity.
All right.
And the power of the goddess.
And you chose it to be right there on your...
Yes.
What do you call that spot again?
This is your third eye.
You chose to have it in your third eye.
I firmly believe, Shemaine, that it's always been there. It was quite strange when I went for the tattoo, and my tattoo artist, when she put the stencil down, she said to me, "This is meant to be here." And I said, "Yes, it is." And you would see it when you look at me, and people recognize me by this tattoo now, strangely enough.
Awesome.
But after a while, it fades away and you don't see it anymore. It's like it is part of who I am. And I'm comfortable enough to express my inner being on the outside.
And that was a long journey. But before we get there, let's finish the tat on your breastbone.
Yes.
That is a cat.
Yes.
With, I said a snake and you went a cobra.
A cobra.
So, yeah. So tell us about that one.
Bust came when I was diagnosed with stage 3 cancer last year, this time.
And you've had cancer. You've been diagnosed how many times did you?
3 times.
That's a lot.
Yeah. There's a reason for that, though.
Okay.
I went through the whole healing journey. I struggled a lot. There was a lot of complications afterwards. And I've got a now 5-year-old little girl,
wow.
One child only. Yes, so
awesome.
It's been very traumatic for her as well. I've always had my attachment to my felines, and cats vibrate on a very different energy. They are very, very spiritual. People say, watch your dogs. I say, watch your cats. Because if they're calm enough and nothing disturbs them, you're still okay. But if your cat sit ups, then there's a problem. But I'm also going off the stories here. So I gifted.
Yeah, I'm thinking Liesl is loving that.
I'm glad. And I will visit. I will promise. I can't bring all 23 with me, but I will visit. I gifted myself when the scars healed. And I said to Bronwyn, which is my tattoo artist, I said to her, design something for me that will represent my inner being. Mm-hmm. And the fact that I have, again, walked away and I've been victorious, that cancer that we look at is a disease that we fear, has not taken away from me. However, yet again, empowered and raised my voice.
Okay.
Because my throat chakra is now vibrating at the energy that it should. I now speak my authentic truth. And it's taken me from being diagnosed up until where I sit today, and it's still a journey every single day, understanding what my authenticity is all about.
You said there was a reason for the cancers.
Yes.
Cancers.
Plural. Yes.
What do you mean by that?
You know that when we get violated, either in an energetic way or in a physical way, it goes and it settles somewhere inside our bodies, whether it's by emotional abuse, verbal abuse, or physical abuse. The scars may heal.
Mental abuse.
That's it. Mm-hmm. There's so many, and people are getting more clever each day mm-hmm. on how to abuse. Being exposed to rape twice, which I've never spoken about. I was too ashamed, actually, because these were people that I knew. And being sexually molested from the age of 4. I blocked that out of my memory. I did not remember my childhood at all. I did not want to. My subconscious kept that away from me because it was too emotionally traumatizing. Mm-hmm. So I developed breast cancer. And that, our breasts and our wombs are our female parts. And that's where the violation went to go and sit. So I had breast cancer at the age of 22. I had cervical cancer at about, I think it's 5 years ago. My daughter's 5 now, yes, just after her birth. I was diagnosed with cervical cancer. And that also came from the abuse that I've gone through.
The anger?
I think it may have been the anger. It may have been the fact that I refused to acknowledge it for myself, that I didn't want to speak about it, that I thought that there was a stigma.
Yeah, and if you don't speak about it, you think it's going to go away. It's magically disappeared.
Yeah, yeah,
it's gone,
yeah.
It's gone. You know, it's
we force
like,
it down.
That hasn't happened, you know, so, and if I don't think about it, then it can't affect me. And then the body's going, nah, actually.
Not so much.
Yeah.
And that's just funny enough that you mentioned that. It's like people, with the root chakra, for instance, using it as an example, we think that the root chakra is there for just your grounding. But the root chakra is finding your place within your tribe, which is your immediate family. Mm-hmm. So from conception to the age of 7 or 8 is the time for that chakra to develop. And finding your voice in order to stand up for yourself in your tribe.
It's up until about 7 or 8. That's kind of like what we call the formative years, from birth to.
That's correct.
Normally, you know, I don't know. Some even go like up until 7 is your formative, and now you've just dodged it with another year or so.
You actually have.
It's great.
It doesn't stop even at that age. Mm-hmm. Then you look at the second chakra, which is the sacral. Mm-hmm. And
that's the orange one.
That's the orange one. And I'm sorry to tell you that I will never like orange.
That's fine.
Oh, I like her. I will never like orange. And I will not pretend. I will not pretend that I will like orange.
Why does it feel so violent when you say it like that?
Because people want to, again, we are conditioned.
Yeah.
So let's say I'm going to heal you. I'm going to almost, my idea of healing is you need to start wearing orange.
Mm-hmm.
Try and find something orange in my household.
Right.
Not going to work.
Okay.
I can accept the fact that my sacral chakra has been damaged. Uh-huh. And I can accept the fact that I need to work through the issues that's there. But I never have to like the color.
Okay.
I can accept the fact that the solar plexus has been damaged.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't own anything that's yellow.
Right.
So the color doesn't make to say that if you wear that color or live in that color, it will heal you.
Mm-hmm.
It will fix the issue. But I want you to go back to the root chakra and children finding their voice in their tribe. Because I come from a culture where children are to be seen and not heard.
That's right.
So does that then cause damage?
Yes, it does.
Say more.
It does. So, formative years, root chakra. Voice hasn't been found. So what happens to you become dysfunctional? First of all, your inner voice is now silenced. You are, as you said, only to be seen and not to be heard. Mm-hmm. So your voice is not important. Your basic needs are not looked after. Your basic needs are love. It is attention when you need it. It is someone to come down to your level of understanding and seeing the world through your eyes as a child. Not as a child coming to the grown-up level and experiencing it there. So you are robbed of having to find your voice and your place within your tribe.
How does that play out eventually? How does that, because I can imagine it's there's a huge sense of insecurity.
Yes, because it's not just me. I mean, it's an entire
generations.
Yeah. So let's talk root chakra, right? So the root chakra is actually driven by fear.
Mm-hmm.
If you go and you want to get the controlling mechanisms.
But it's not a bad thing.
It's not a bad thing.
Mm-hmm.
So we have the adrenals and the kidneys. It's just a little bit of information, right? And they are responsible for the metabolism of the fats, the proteins, the carbohydrates, and they also support the fight or flight responses, which in actual fact is a primal or primitive response. So thus note the survival in the root chakra. So the life lesson of the chakra is to stand up for oneself, finding on where you're belonging. So if the chakra becomes dysfunctional, you become a victim in your later life. You become a victim to other people.
So, and that works for all the chakras, or just, are you speaking specifically now for the base?
Specifically root chakra.
Okay.
Okay. So it is the foundation for your emotional and mental health. Okay. So in your tribe, you learn about your code of honor, which is directed and directly from your close family and friends. So you may, in later years, do the same thing to your children. You are to be seen, not heard.
Mm-hmm.
So you are continuing
that. What happens when you, because we decide after being grown up, when we feel our families didn't quite meet our needs, we go like, I'm finding me another family. You know, can they be a support for that? Or can they kind of like, how do you work through through those issues without the relatives that you came into the world with?
If I'm understanding your question, you say choosing another family.
Mm-hmm.
At what age?
Say 30-something, 20-something.
Oh, well, those are, that's your support structure.
Mm-hmm.
Family is not just by blood. And those people, yes, if you are honest and open enough to share your soul,
mm-hmm.
open your spirit.
So it can be reversed?
Yes.
Okay, great.
There are things to work on that you mm-hmm. can work on in order to help the chakra develop.
Because everything doesn't go away, isn't it?
Doesn't go.
Because I mean, your family is your family. Doesn't matter who you are. Doesn't matter how far you run. Your family is your family.
You know, the beautiful part of our root chakras that not a lot of people as well do not know is that it controls our mental stability and the achievement of goals. So as a 20-30-year-old, and if you look at your life from wherever you're sitting right now and listening, and this is one chakra that we've touched on.
Mm-hmm.
And
you know, it would be nice to go to some others, but yes, keep going. Because I like that. I like the fact that you're taking the bottom and you're connecting it with what I call my intellect or
yes.
my mental
yes.
state.
But before you carry on, I just want to, you know, for the listeners who are not seeing what you are doing, you've got this chart.
Yes.
Won't you explain it to us? How does it work? You use that in your healing. How yes, does it
I do.
Work?
So the chakras is the first one, like I said. The root chakra is, the grounding is fear. Then mm-hmm. you look at the sacrum, which is your feelings. Mm-hmm. Your solar plexus is your procreativity. Your heart, obviously, is harmony. Your throat is philosophy. Your third eye is wisdom. Your crown is spirituality. Now, the interesting fact is that you only become a balanced human being at the age of 41, and that little cliche of life begins at 40 mm-hmm. really has a lot of truth. Because if you've been exposed to the right life lessons, you become a balanced individual. And from the age of 41, 42, 43, you are spiritually awakened. And then you have different ages inside you, as we were going to go through. So I'll just give an example over here. Right, so age one, you're looking at pure surviving, which means I need to be fed, I need to be warm, and I need to be nappy changed, or all those kind of things. You look at age two, you look at the awakening of your own inner feelings of that I want, I don't want.
Mm-hmm.
However, it is also touched then on the second chakra already. So then you go to age three, where you actively start discovering the world. It is the what is this and the what is what. That touches on your solar plexus.
Mm-hmm.
So as I said earlier, you said the forming years, one mm-hmm. to seven. Okay, that's your foundation years. Then you go back to the root chakra at age eight or nine.
Great.
And you start there again. And every single time.
That's the seven-year cycle that we hear about all the time.
Mm. Yeah. That's correct. Or that seven-year itch, right?
Once we've dealt with all these chakras, let's move on to another set.
Unfortunately, Liesl, I have to say to you that life is a spiral. You come from the bottom, and I love to explain it to the clients like that. You have seen those little thingies that run in the wind with that little ball,
mm-hmm.
and it spins and it spins. You start from the bottom and you work your way up. And when you're at the top, you have to come down again.
Mm-hmm.
And with every single time that you work up or down, you take more layers of conditioning away from yourself. And you become more real.
But that's conscious. Because, I mean, I know 42-year-olds who are messed up.
Dude, if you met me 5 years ago, you would have looked at me going like, you messed up.
So you understand what I mean? So it's like
it's a conscious decision.
Yeah, you said earlier, you need the right support structure.
Yes,
too.
You do. Mm-hmm. You need one person that can make a difference in your world. One person that would actively and generously listen to you.
Uh-huh.
And not just listen to you in order to respond,
mm-hmm.
but hear what you are saying while you are breathing.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
It totally does.
It's the silences between the words.
Mm-hmm.
And reading what your body is telling me.
Mm-hmm.
Are you comfortable? And I know no one can see us at the moment, but a client that would come in and the immediate thing that they would do is sit down in their chair and they would cross their arms. And I know that that's a thing where they say body language, it's a closed up. It's not closed up. It is me defending my heart.
Protecting. Mm. Oh, that's beautiful.
I'm defending my heart. Mm. I have been bruised and beaten and battered so many times over that I'm scared of what is going to come out here. So my body armor is not even thick enough. You can't see it, but it's there.
So when you look at our body language, what is that? What does that say?
You are quite calm and relaxed. Your head's very busy, though.
It's always... Everybody's always going on about my head. Everybody does. Yeah.
So. It is unfortunate that I did hear that you've been on a little vacation or a holiday. So I'm going to take it that you should be relaxed depending on where that holiday was and if it was a place of your choice or whether you would have enjoyed it. But you look like somebody that craves. You strike me as somebody that craves a lot of knowledge and understanding of your inner being. Of your own inner being. Have I made the right choices in life? Do I, and how do I accept? Can I accept mistakes I've made? Is it okay to say that I've made those mistakes? Of course it is. All of us make mistakes.
Mm.
And that's how we learn.
Mm-hmm.
It's the most fascinating thing I read this morning is that the heart needs to be cracked open completely.
You know, it's one thing to say that and to hear that, but when it actually happens, you're in hell for the longest time. But oh no, the aftermath is just dear macabre and crazy chaotic. But then after that, once you start, you know, clearing out, it's a beautiful, beautiful thing. But I would never tell somebody your heart needs to be cracked open because they might come and kill me.
Oh, no, my darling, nobody needs to crack your heart open. The universe will do it for you.
Life does it for you.
Yeah. No.
The universe will do it for you.
So go to the orange, which the one you don't like.
The sacral chakra.
Yes. Let's talk about that. One of the things that I really I heard the first time today is when she said the base is where our tribal thing, you know, where our familial identity comes from. That for me is beautiful. And the fact that mentally it influences. We didn't finish that part, did we?
Jermaine, our conversations never finish, but can we try and steer it more or less to carry on with the orange?
Yes, please, can we? But can we just get that mental connection? How it works with the mental thing? How it influences your mental state of being the base?
Your base chakra.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said to you, when it becomes dysfunctional, you in later life, your mentally mental lethargy. Your spaciness, you're unfocused, you're incapable of being still, you have difficulty to achieving your goals. And that continues until you actually stand still and go and resolve whatever conditioned you to become who you are.
Mental illness?
Mental illness as well.
Can that come from there?
It does come from there.
Okay.
It has a huge impact.
Strokes,
heart chakra.
Oh. The heart.
Yes.
All righty. Let's go.
Can we go to the orange
yes,
now? Okay. So the developmental stages for that beautiful little chakra that sits there is from 8, 9 until 14 or 15. And this is where you start misunderstanding your own desires, right? Because now those beautiful things of hormones start kicking in and we become teenagers and we don't understand what's happening to our own bodies. And this is also where you develop your first crush, supposedly.
Okay.
Yes. I think if you can think that far back, I think I can still remember mine. So at the age of 9, you go back to your root chakra and you start with friendships in different forms. So you are no longer in the tribe. You are now expanding outside. You're experimenting.
Mm-hmm.
You are forming different relationships. The other people on the outside are now welcomed in. So you are also beginning to learn from outside your tribe.
Okay.
So now you might find something that's different from there. Bring it into the tribe, have a discussion. It might be pressed down depending on what household you are raised in, or it might be openly discussed that everybody is entitled to think, believe, feel, do what is right for them.
So there are those households where you're just supposed to keep quiet and follow the rules. There are the households where you are encouraged to do whatever. And then there are those children who just roam the streets. Like, there are a lot of children who basically were forsaken from by their family, parents, whatever. Yes. I'm not going for a reason. I'm just saying it is what it is at that moment.
Yes.
Where those kids are alone. Mm. And they're going like, fuck.
There's no guidance.
Ooh, what? But what happens there in those cases?
Charmaine, this is where we are standing currently in our civilization. Let's look at our world where we are currently.
Mm-hmm.
It is aggressive.
Yeah.
It is in pain.
Yeah.
It is screaming for release. It came from somewhere. We neglected. We need to take ownership. We neglected. We did not decide to stop the cycle. So those children are on the street for whatever reasons.
We humans, are you talking about?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Because not every person, unfortunately, has the heart to go out and actually extend a hand. Because why? I've been hurt too many times before. So I won't.
Mm-hmm.
I would rather drive past the 7-year-old sitting on the street corner and go like, oh, if I give you a 5 rand, the only thing you're going to go do is going to go and sniff glue, whatever the case may be. This is the mentality we have.
Not necessarily wrong or right. It is your experience, though.
It is.
You know what I mean?
Because for the individual.
I don't want people to go judging themselves.
No.
You know, sometimes you drive past someone and you go like, you're overwhelmed.
Yes.
You know, because there's so many people standing there.
Yes.
And you just go like, oh my God. You know,
I also need to eat.
Yes.
Yes.
You know, so it's not to make people feel guilty about not being able to give or not wanting to give, choosing to not at that moment, because that's also fine.
But then the next time that you drive past in the sandwich that you haven't had mm-hmm. while you were at work that you are going to toss out when you get home,
mm-hmm.
you could have handed that over.
True that.
It's an exchange of energy.
True that.
It's not necessarily about giving the 5 rand or the whatever rand that you have.
Mm.
It is about giving what you can.
But it's also, if it's an exchange of energy, an acknowledgement.
That's right.
That is a person.
Yes.
Because I've seen it time and time again that people drive past beggars, whether they are different abled or whatever the case may be, and not looking at them. And that just breaks my heart. It's a human being.
Yes.
And that exchange of energy, it might not be what they physically need, but it is at least an acknowledgement.
Correct.
Can it be that it's because we feel so uncomfortable and so not maybe emasculated in the sense that we don't even know how to fix it, that we sometimes just don't want to look because we're reminded of how insufficient we are, you know. So some people look and some people don't look, and some days you look and some days you just can't look.
And here is my challenge, Charmaine. Where does it resonate when you can't look?
Mm-hmm.
Where does it make you feel whatever it is that you're feeling? Is it guilt? Is it irritation? Is it the fact that you just cannot help everybody and you would want to and you are ashamed? Where does it resonate within you? Because then within your inner being, there is something that you can resolve.
Mm-hmm.
Because acknowledging somebody that freely.
That's all great for you to mention that. So give us examples, because we all feel those things on at different times, different places. So say, let's take me for example.
Yes.
You know, so you can do whomever, but just give us. Say, if it resonates here, in the middle of my chest,
yes.
Between my breasts, my heart chakra,
your boobies,
my
yes.
boobies. What does that say? What must I look for then? What would we work?
Where were you hurt before? Where were you hurt? Look at how you cannot acknowledge that, as you said, Liesl, the human individual.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot look them straight in the eye, which is the window to the soul, is it not?
We've all been hurt, though.
I know, but then go and look,
mm-hmm.
and go and excavate. What it is that you need to be dealing with inside you to look at another individual and say, I see you.
Awesome. The stomach area.
Yes. The solar plexus.
The solar plexus, the yellow bits. What? Because that's also, that we also feel that. I'm speaking like this because, you know, sometimes in my head, it just goes like, what's that again? I mean, the older I get, the more I'm fine with getting confused. So what happens?
So we're going to blame it on age, right?
No. But it is for sure. It's age. It's for sure that thing where you go like, oh, I'm not embarrassed if I get it wrong anymore. So what happens with the?
It's your willpower.
Okay, so
it's your drive.
When I can't look at you, what does that say?
What is it? What is it that's weak with inside me?
Okay.
What is it that I'm not okay with? That's within me. It is not about the person that you are looking at. It is about you as an individual. Find what it is that within you, and if every single person could actually look at themselves and go, this is what lies within me. I need help. Number one, I need to get to someone, and someone needs to help me. Let me. We are not cars. We don't fix. We look at our constraints, and we give you tools in order to work through whatever constraint it is that's within you.
We always need help, though, eh?
Mm-hmm. Of course.
There's never a moment in a day. You might be happy and fulfilled, but there's always something that you're going to need to work towards.
That's true. It's the most bizarre thing that we somehow, somewhere, got this idea that we just have to go,
mm-hmm.
never looking at our physical vehicles,
mm-hmm.
and never have to ask for help because we have to know things.
Up top.
Need one too, though.
You also need an up top.
Thank you, because I have a beautiful thing called the pause button.
Mm-hmm.
And when I do my sessions with my clients and they babble about their day, and I go, I need you to be quiet and I need you to breathe into where I press, and I will press on your stomach lightly, not to pain, and on your chest, and say, well, raise your tummy first for me and then your chest up, and then breathe it out while holding your chest up, which means you are opening the heart up, and then breathe it out. And just in that split second, acknowledge what is happening within you. Pause. Press that pause button.
Sometimes we don't have the words to acknowledge or to be able to verbalize what we're feeling, you know. What do you do in that case? Because we almost like don't validate that it's a truth or a real thing if we can't speak it. But do you understand what I'm saying? What do you
but
do
energetically
with people
you
like?
You could pick it up.
Uh-huh.
Energetically, you pick it up. So if an individual comes, I have a meet and greet. If a client makes an appointment, I'd say we would meet and greet first. You have to be comfortable with me. I don't look the norm, as you said earlier. Mm-hmm. So you need to be comfortable with me. And I need to also understand who I will be dealing with and what your requirements would be. And we would sit and I would say, right, jump on the bed, lie down, put a nice blanket on you, cover your eyes up with a nice little feathers and scented pillow and nice music. And I touch for hot spots.
Mm-hmm.
I will move my hands over your body, and there will be a constraint somewhere that I would feel, and it comes through as a hot spot. That's the only way to describe it.
Is that a bit like Reiki?
Reiki doesn't do physical touching.
Oh, you physically?
I physically touch you.
All right.
I would work on your arms. I would feel your shoulder blades. I will then sense that there are hot spots, which means we carry a lot of our stress, obviously, over
our
here.
Shoulders, huh?
However, that's got to do with your throat chakra.
Ah.
Yeah, that's not your authentic truth that's coming out.
So if this is stressing, your truth might be stunted?
Yes.
That's amazing.
But I also, you know, the hot spots would be, for me, inflammation.
Yes.
To a more, lesser or a more degree.
I got what you were saying. So I would pick up, say for instance, on the hips. I'd pick up that there's a hot spot lying right by the hip bone, especially with females. And 99.99%, there has been some form of violation.
Mm.
Whether it's been manipulated into having sex or actually being molested or raped or whichever, there has been some constraint. I will pick up on a hot spot by the chest area. I will then feel for your diaphragm and understand, is it very tight? Is it painful? Is it hurtful? What is happening if I press here? Are you uncomfortable? Okay, you've been hurt. What has been happening in your childhood? But then we need to go and excavate. How far does it go back?
Mm.
You'll get home, and I'm going to use a silly example. You get angry, you're home, the toast is burnt. But are you angry about the toast that got burnt?
Mm.
Or are you angry at the fact that your husband may have forgotten to do X, Y, Z? Or are you angry because your husband forgotten to do X, Y, Z, or you did not remind him? Find the core.
Mm.
I want to get back to your orange, though.
All right. Go, let's do it. Let's go.
I just wanted to get back to your orange quickly.
So thank you.
Just for you, with your nice orange shirt on today,
because
right?
I'm wearing orange.
Yes. So there's archetypes that you get as well with dysfunctional chakras. The one, obviously, is, we spoke earlier about more positive. It depends on what you see as positive. And then there is a dysfunctional one. So this... the functional chakra, sacral chakra, would look like it's the free-spirited or the very independent individual. And then there's the opposite, that would be the martyr, the self-sacrificial victim.
The poor me.
Even worse than that sometimes, because poor me can go to your solar plexus too.
Okay.
Yeah, that's the drudge. You inhabit your spiritual warrior that comes from your solar plexus. Were you at that determined not to have your voice silenced? And I'm not just talking about speaking. I'm talking about your inner complete being, your physical, your energetical, your spiritual, whatever it is that makes you you, mm-hmm. Your voice will not be silenced. And that dysfunctions happen. And later in life, we find out why.
So does each chakra have an archetype?
Yes, it does. The only one that doesn't have an archetype is your throat.
What?
Obviously, because if the three lower chakras, which is your solar plexus, your sacral and your root, they work together, then we get to the heart, which is the center.
Mm-hmm.
And the heart is the only one that turns inwards. It becomes about you and how about you see things and about how you value things and mm-hmm. how you sacrifice yourself. Just, you know, that self-sacrificial thing. The sacral chakra might have been hurt somewhere else. Now it lies in your heart because it's pushed up. One dysfunctional chakra affects another one.
Mm-hmm.
Your throat chakra can be in such balance if you have been paying attention to the lower three and to your heart that it will be open and easy, like me.
Mm-hmm.
This is who I am. There's no reason for me to hide.
Easily. Yeah. So I'm sitting here thinking now, with you not doing the color thing or the color therapy thing, there are a lot of people who work with color. What do you say to them? Is it all about a belief system or what?
It depends on what works for you.
Okay.
I cannot force something onto you because then I'm manipulating you.
Okay.
I can influence you. I could say to you, this is what you can try. But if it's not going to work for you as an individual and subconsciously you're buying into what I'm saying to you because somewhere along the line
mm-hmm.
that was attached to, I don't like that. It might have been, who knows, that someone was wearing an orange shirt that did something to me. I don't know.
Mm.
And that's the color that's associated with it.
Yeah. So the yellow one, she was
plexus.
Talking about the archetypal thing. So do you want to go to that one?
You want to talk about the...
I think so, because we're getting... Our time's getting really you know, little, so...
So our third chakra on the solar plexus is all about inner strength. So this strength is developed by facing all your external challenges. So if you are supported yet again, and this stage is you are still in the home environment... then you are from the ages of 14 up until 21,
mm-hmm.
Where you are now developing your own internal being. You become the spiritual warrior, which would be able to stand up and say and voice, this is who I am. The flip side of it is the drive, just what I call the skivvy, the one that will, the poor me, you know.
Mm.
It's always envious of other people's qualities. However, they have these qualities. They just do not know how to excavate it. People think that we are born psychic. Do you know that you are all born psychic? You all have inner intuition. Every single person has that ability.
Mm-hmm.
It is just somewhere along the line, something got dysfunctional within our psyche, and we are trying to work through it and help through it.
I wouldn't want to be like completely psychic anyway, because you know the disturbances that you feel.
Yeah,
and
I don't
see.
Want to see dead people.
It's busy. It's busy.
You don't want to see dead people. Who says I'm real?
Oh, now everybody's business.
Well, I did hear you say you people are all psychic, and I was wondering now,
everybody,
where do you fit into this?
Every single. Well, I'm not a human. I'm a half cat, right?
So. Before you go to the heart. Can I just ask you?
Yes.
You spoke about us having a new bit of an issue where before, during the 60s and before the 60s,
yeah,
we undershared.
Yes.
Now we overshare.
We overshare. We have support groups for everything. I bumped my toe. I'm in a support group tomorrow. And I know where you're going with this. I'm going to answer the complete explain the whole thing. It is about...
I don't even know where I'm going with this.
I know. See, I'm psychic. See, my intuition is telling me over here, Shimon. So when is therapy enough? Mm-hmm. Do you know that dysfunctional, and maybe it's not the right word, but that's the word that comes to mind, dysfunctional human psyche or being has found a breeding ground in the holistic healing environments. And I know that there's a lot of stones being thrown at the radio right now, but it's the truth, because we keep them there. We keep them. We keep them wanting to hold on to another, just another crutch. We don't want to empower them because we lose a money-making, because it's all about the dollar, isn't it? Mm-hmm. But that's not the way it should be.
I didn't realize that people in the esoteric world make... overall a lot of money. I don't know, like some people, but some,
yes,
people,
some people
don't.
Do they can be excessively expensive as to their services, and I think it needs to be, it's an energetic exchange. Some of my clients that come and see me, they know I work on a donation. I feed 23 cats. I have to eat sometimes too, and sometimes not grass, right? You know, what you feel.
Grass is good.
Yeah, no.
Wheat grass is very expensive.
Exactly. But it's an energetic exchange. And then you can say, look, this is what I can offer you. What can you afford?
Uh-huh.
It's not always about, this is my service. You need to pay me 1,000 X, Y, Z, and for 45 minutes sit down. It's not like that. You can't do that, because you have that person with, this is now your support group or your support person. So you keep on going back to that person. But when are you healed? Mm. When are you really healed? When do you decide, I can now go to the outside world and continue with my life? It takes a maximum of 10 sessions. 7 chakras, 3 sessions on just looking on what else do you need? What else has come up?
Yeah. But that's you.
That is me.
You know? So the oversharing that we, so you're saying we're just being overindulgent and it's a distraction. So we should really just go out and do what we need to after we've gotten what we
need. If you are empowered, Shimon, yes.
Okay.
If you are being empowered, it's like one question that was raised at a table full of people. And I spoke about it in my group the other day. It's one single question is, are you available on June the 3rd? Uh-huh. You would sit back and go, June the 3rd? Did you say June the 3rd? And you go on in a tangent about, I cannot go because this is when I have my support group about incest and blah, 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 blah. And this entire table.
Everybody. I hate when people turn me into the monkey audience.
There you go. So what just happened? I have manipulated with my woundology, right?
Continue.
I have.
I
now
love that word, woundology.
Yes,
so
I have now
to
dictated
us what woundology means.
It's my poor wounded little self will determine how you will tread around me, and I will use it as a currency.
Mm.
Bravo, you have just become the world's best narcissist and manipulator. Doesn't give you sympathy. There are people that have had the worst lives out there, and they walk away because they made a conscious decision on stopping the abuse, even by yourself, because we can become our own worst enemies.
But also in dealing with other people, you know, I've got my hurt and it's here and it looks like this.
And then show me yours.
Yes, yes, yes. And we compare our emotional wounds.
And then we form click, hey?
Delve into and, yes. Oh, it's boring.
I know.
So how do you get over it? How do you break away from that?
You do, but this is what I was saying, the support groups, because what do we want? We want people to listen to us, right? So you want to tell me your story. Okay, you've got an hour. Let's talk. So this is what's been going on. How's your last week been? Did you do the homework that I've given you? Because, darling, I just don't sit here and listen to you for because of the sake of listening. You have to go and work proactively on yourself. What has come from that? What are you bringing back to me? I gave you... So, a meditation to go and do. Did you do the meditation? No, I did not. Why? You're not serious about healing.
Mm.
You are not serious about making yourself an authentic being. You want to stay exactly where you are.
I can imagine that you must be very popular when you say things like
that. I am very popular when I say things like that.
The heart chakra.
You want to talk about the heart chakra?
Yes, please.
Okay. I thought we were running out of time. I can't see.
Yes,
you can see the clock.
But I'll get like 2 minutes for each. We've got four to go through. Other than the how many? 20 other.
It's okay. We'll guide you. And if we need to speed you up, we'll speed you up.
Okay, speed
but
me
we
up.
But we are getting to the speeding up.
All right. So the heart chakra is actually one of my most favorites.
All right.
Because it houses so many things within there, and people think it's just about, like we spoke earlier, cracking the heart open. It's not about that. It's about the inner being. Mm-hmm. It is about becoming who you are, what your needs are. And yes, you need to go through a bit of a narcissistic phase where you will no longer be the servant or stand in service of someone else and actually have your own voice heard and actually acknowledge how you feel about something. And I can proudly sit and use my husband as an example. Where your voice gets silenced and you are suppressed in such a way where you become fearful of saying, no, I don't like. It lies in the heart because you are scared, because you were traumatized. So you were actually damaging yourself internally. You were making and experiencing pain. You're experiencing shortness of breath. Your arms are aching. Your shoulders are aching. You have mild heart attacks. Your voice is not being heard because you don't know how to bring it out of your chest area. So the heart is about you as an individual, your rights as an individual, of saying no and not feeling guilty.
Mm-hmm. Therein lies the thing that you go like, oh, I've got to say no, but I feel so bad.
Why do you feel bad?
It's a conditioning.
Exactly. So where does it resonate? From your root chakra or your sacral, because that's what we use to manipulate. So I feel bad. Why do you feel bad? What has happened to you in your life that you should feel bad? Being protective and have healthy barriers. And I know someone listening now would be very proud of me. Healthy barriers.
You know, I don't even think it's such a big secret. Women have been told that it's no to say wrong for the longest time. So we carry that with us. So, and having to learn or unlearn certain habits can take a lifetime. You know what I mean? And it's a process.
It is a process.
So, and it's easy when you're sitting on your own and you're strong and you figured it out versus somebody who's sitting next to you and they're still trying to figure it out.
But
do you know what
But
I mean?
Also, Shemaine, when you're on your own and you've sorted it and the moment you are back in your group, that conditioning sets in again.
Yes.
And again you feel, oh, I don't want to do this, but let me. Because we are also, as women, we are, from the day our eyes open, we are taught that we have to serve and that we have to put ourselves last. Mm.
So, Liesl, I'm very lucky, again, in saying that I was raised as a woman and a supreme being.
That's good. And your granny was great with that. And that is why you also don't have a problem with terminology for yourself. You call yourself a witch,
yes,
because the connotation is not like what we were taught. Because if you call somebody a witch, you go like, where's the problem? Run! You know, okay,
Which one would you like, Shimon? I've got plenty brooms, darling.
No, but you understand what I mean.
I understand.
We're making fun, but yes, essentially, it's not a comfortable term.
Yes, I understand.
In our society, when you call somebody a witch, you're swearing at the person. Sometimes you do it because you love the person. You know, you're getting, oh, you my little witch. But that's a total different story. Mm.
I am goddess incarnate, and I am proud to be.
And you say that
witch,
as
yes.
well. Mm. So somebody wrote something,
yes,
about you,
and gifted me with it. It was the most beautiful thing ever.
Yeah. So I'm gonna just, you know, I'm gonna read one. I'm gonna read the start, and she says, "A goddess is a woman who emerges from deep within herself. She is a woman who has honestly explored her darkness and learned to celebrate her light. She's a woman who is able to fall in love with the magnificent possibilities within her. She's a woman who knows of the magic and mysterious places inside her, the sacred places that can nurture her soul and make her whole." And that's who you say you are.
Yes.
Mm. That's how she described you. That's very beautiful. Now come on, more wisdom.
Okay, so before we go to the throat, I just want to ask you, is the heart where the bottom three and the top three
converge,
collide, where
yes.
they merge?
Yes.
Okay, so the throat, and you have actually, throughout this entire conversation, you have spoken about expressing,
yes,
about the throat. And I just want to, you know, ask, say, comment, that expression isn't always about words.
No.
It is about that what Shimon just read.
Yes. It's about how people see you, how they view you, how they read your, if you want to call it your auric field, mm-hmm. your energy, how they interact with you, how they sit. And the woman that gifted me with this, really, to be honest, is a person that I've shared space with twice only.
Wow.
And it was around a table of other people. So it wasn't an individual one-on-one.
Mm.
And she was that observant
about
and seeing
yeah.
who I am and how true I am to who I know I am.
So the throat chakra, when we swallow or we hide,
yes,
is that when we develop problems there?
Yes. That's where my cancer came from, because I did not speak. I hid a lot of things. And the process has started a couple of years ago. That was, I was forced by universal energies, if you want to call it that, to go within.
Mm-hmm.
And actually to go and start understanding that I have a gift. I can help other people. I want to help other people. And let me go and see what is happening with this area. And there was cancer.
Wow.
And I went home and I went to my husband and I said, we need to discuss this because I do not want to go and have the surgery done. I do not want to have
you?
The chemo done.
Did you? Didn't you?
Yes, I did.
And yeah.
I was that honest. And I was in an environment that I could be that honest. And my partner said that, you know, he understands. He would like me to.
Yeah.
But he understands.
So you've got like a minute to do the
third eye.
Pineal and the upper one. Okay, like
No pressure.
So just off the top of your head.
So your third eye is where everything happens. That is where you see past. I see Polani's come in, so that's the one that says the time's up, right?
Yes.
That's where it actually has also got to do with the base of your neck. So if you suffer from headaches, it is your third eye that's not working and properly functioning.
Okay.
It is your intuition. It's your outer thought.
All right.
That is seeing past the veil, if that makes sense.
Uh-huh.
That is seeing not your physical form that I'm seeing right here, but seeing what lies
beyond
or beneath.
Now the crown.
Spiritual. That is from the age of 43 up, where you're actually that comfortable and understanding and allowing mm-hmm. and no longer have to fight your way through of other people's conditioning,
mm-hmm.
but are comfortable within yourself.
And that's the crown chakra.
That's it.
All righty then. Yay! Just about smashed it. So are we going to say goodbye now, Liesl?
No, man. Come, we have another minute left. Tell me quickly. No,
yes.
No. Spirit of energy.
Yes.
What does that mean?
Spirit of energy. I was wondering and waiting if you guys were going to actually ask that question.
Half a second, huh?
Half a second. So what is spirit? Spirit is life force. What is energy? It's the get up and go. So the spirit of energy is the life force of getting up and going. And that is what I work with. And that is how I work. Giving you the life force and the energy and the spirit.
Shawanae, where can people get hold of you?
They can get hold of me on a group called Healing Evolution. It is on Facebook. I also have a website. My cell phone number is also advertised on the website of Healing Evolution. I'm also at many of the esoteric markets, Light and Joy Fairs. Mm-hmm. I have a practice at home. It's nice and comfortable, and they visit the 23 cats, unless they are allergic. I'm joking.
Okay, you've got to go.
I saw Liesl's face like, what?
That's all right.
We well, Shemaine, I think we're done
really
now.
We really have to go now.
Awesome.
Chavanay,
yes,
Bauer, Low. It was a pleasure to have you on Beyond Ears and Eyes. Thank you for coming.
Thank you so much for having me. It was really, really a pleasure.
Palisa, you ready to go? Uh-huh, that's Palisa Mabuye. Shaking her head. I'm Shemaine Harris. Have a good one and be good to yourself.
And for me, Liesl Tom, take care.
This is CliffCentral.com.